Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Mr. Mark Goldfinch. Mark, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Bert.
Yeah. It's great to have you here. I want to start. You've kind of recently launched your new business. You have a really fascinating background, and we've got lots of things we could talk about. I want to start off, though, by talking about your latest thing, because it's a very interesting thing you've done. Drive Your Marketing.
Yes. Yeah. It depends on your perspective. It's called Drive Your Marketing. Drive Your Marketing is about a year old in its present form. Mm. It's had a couple of iterations in the past, as most businesses do, when they start off. You've got to see what the market actually wants. Mm. And Drive Your Marketing is it's a way for businesses to organise, prioritise, plan their marketing. Mm. So it's an organising system that I've developed from 30 years of communications experience from around the world, not just digital, but the totality of all the marketing activities that a business can do.
Yeah.
So businesses quite often, this has been a theme during this show so far, actually, that businesses are just bamboozled and baffled, and there are an awful lot of marketing activities that businesses can do.
That's a good description of this show, isn't it? Bamboozled and baffled.
Hashtag.
Exactly.
And as your guests have so eloquently said before, there's an awful lot of people out there who don't think they have the money. Yeah. I've been quoted minimum spend £1,000 a month. To do what? There wasn't transparent at all. What you would get for the £1,000 a month before you'd even have a conversation.
Yeah.
So what I've created is actually designed to be efficient, organisation, and transparent.
Okay. So let's kind of dissect that a little bit. Yeah. You've got you've got a dashboard, and you've also we've talked about the concept of having a marketing MOT.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's look at those two things.
Well, the dashboard is what underpins everything. Yeah. So it's four stages: own, plan, act, link. Mm. Opal, own, plan, act, link.
Did you get it? Do you see what he did there?
Yeah. And underneath so those are the four stages, and then there are 12 modules.
Right.
And what I strongly, passionately believe in is that businesses need to know the digital infrastructure, the marketing infrastructure that they have, and then own it. Mm. So they need to understand it so that they can actually then explain it to them. They understand themselves, but they can also have better relationships with their marketing partners.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Especially with smaller businesses, and not even new ones, some that have been well established, that a lot of businesses don't actually really get marketing.
Well, the thing is, marketing is one word that covers so many activities.
Yeah.
Marketing is everything from marketing and PR, advertising. Mm. I use marketing. I've done lots of communications activities in the past. I've done e-books. I've published books. I've been a published author. I've taught people how to present. I've done media analysis and narrative. I've created sort of WordPress sites in the past for myself and for clients. And done social media and done all that planning. So a lot of strategic communications. Mm. So I use the word marketing because people sort of get marketing.
Yeah.
But actually it covers the reason that people are confused is actually because there are so many marketing covers so many activities.
It does. But also I tend to find that a lot of people think that marketing is just like a bit of advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go, I can't afford to advertise. And you go, it's a lot more than just whether or not you advertise. Marketing is a very it is the core fundamental activity of any business. If you're not going to market, then you're not in business.
Effectively, it's explaining yourself, your products, your services, and your brand to potential customers.
It was really interesting. 150 years ago, I was head of technology at Citibank, and so that's an internal function. Yeah, just supporting technology within the bank. Yeah. So all of our users, we had users in those days, were internal people. And I started a marketing department in IT. And everybody went, what are you doing? I went, marketing. And they went, what on earth's marketing got to do with you? You're IT. And I went, no, but I'm marketing my IT department. And they went, but nobody buys it. We, you know, you just get a budget. And I, no, but I'm not trying to sell you anything. What I'm trying to do is explain what we do and how we do it and why we do it and why you're wrong, basically.
Yeah, break down the mystique. And yeah. It's all part of corporate communications.
Absolutely, yeah. So you've got this template, this dashboard, this a set of...
four stages, own plan, act link, and then the 12 modules that breaks down into. And then a marketing MOT is a very... I start all my clients on a marketing MOT. Whenever they're 25 years old clients or just startup clients, any stage of the business, from the micro businesses that you mentioned right the way through to, you know, functioning businesses that really understand what they're doing, but they're going through a generational change.
Sure.
They want to revamp their approach to marketing.
There's a lot of that about as well.
And it's effectively 50 questions. So they then start, this process helps them start creating, well, it's actually a marketing strategy. I don't use the word strategy if I can help it. It's one of those words that really puts people off.
Yeah, sure.
But basically, look, every business needs a plan, a communications plan. There are combinations of these marketing activities that really work. You can form a pathway through these different activities towards successful and efficient marketing. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that, as your first guest was pointing out.
Yeah.
And the marketing MOT is designed to do that. So basically it's five stages, five one-hour conversations on Skype and 50 questions. And at the end, they have their marketing plan. It's not mine. It's theirs.
Sure. It's interesting, isn't it? We've discussed with a couple of people on the show today while we're talking to them, and it's still something that I see far too much and still don't understand why we get lost in it. But people don't think through what they're doing. So often I see people just not thinking through what they're doing at a basic level. And a lot of what you're saying to me is you've got a bunch of questions here that is making people stop and think about what they're doing. And that is just so important.
Do you own and why?
Yeah.
What do you want to plan?
Yeah.
How are you going to act on the plan that you're creating? Yeah. And then how do you link everything? So how do you link to the world?
Yeah.
So the social media, from my perspective, comes in the 12th of my 12 modules. It comes last because you can't sustain and have consistent social media communications on LinkedIn, on Twitter, unless you have something to say, unless you're clear about that, you can do that day in, day out.
Or, you know, the alternative, and you're not saying this, I'm saying this, I see too many businesses that do communicate content on social media, and you go,
but there is no content.
There is no.
How is that relevant to your business?
Yeah.
Whose attention are you trying to attract with that?
Yeah, what are you trying to say to whom? And what are you trying to sell me? I don't understand. Yeah. Because they don't know themselves. You know, they've got a great social media strategy, but they've got no business strategy behind it. And it was interesting talking to Mike as well. And I don't know what your feelings on this are, Mark. And Mike was talking about pricing and stuff like that. And that's something that you see an awful lot is people get stuck in a rut with this kind of thing. They go, Jobs in Kent, my primary business.
Yeah.
The amount of people that came along and went, I'm going to compete with you. And you go, really, how are you going to do that? I'm going to charge half what you charge. And you go, go on then. You know, they just don't think it through. They just think that everything's based on price. And, you know, all you've got to do is charge a pound less than you and all the customers will come over there. You know, that's not so.
No, it's not so at all. And I think it's a false economy to think that you can do something on £150 a day and expect to survive as a business or even grow as a business.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the basic questions that every entrepreneur, small business owner needs to really ask themselves.
Absolutely. And of course, especially with early stage businesses, they're so desperate for income that they'll take income from anything.
And also they're quite apologetic and maybe they haven't actually worked out what the competitors are charging or why.
Yeah.
And then they haven't quite worked out their own pricing structure.
Absolutely. But what I find is that even once they're up and running successfully, nobody ever questions what they're doing and the veracity of what they're doing. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you can end up with customers that actually cost you money.
Yes.
Yeah. And you go, hold on a minute. You know, why are you doing that? Yeah, why don't you sack them?
Well, it's interesting because I've maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but I have actually fired clients in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me too.
It is actually one of the most satisfying things of being in business,
yeah.
you know, as opposed to being an employee.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to necessarily work with clients who are insisting on underpaying you, don't appreciate you enough to pay you the going rate or, you know, the rate that you really need to do to make a profit. So, yes, it is
business
good.
Is transactional, not just in money.
Yeah.
It's transactional in wisdom. It's in transactional in communication. It's relational. It's relational. Mm. So it has to have that. If you're not getting that from the client, then you teach them.
There used to be an aphorism back in the day. This is how old I am. There used to be an aphorism.
150 years.
Exactly. There used to be an aphorism in IT. Yeah. With technical consultants, yeah. There's a story about a computer that was going wrong, and they called a consultant who charged 500 quid, and he came in, and he got a rubber mallet out of his bag, and he banged the memory store, and the computer started working again, and he sent the bill for 500 quid.
Yeah.
And they went, that's outrageous, 500 quid for banging the computer. He went, no. It's £1 for banging the computer and £499 for knowing where to bang it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's precisely it. You're paying for a lifetime. Mm. Well, you know, most people in business, they have a lifetime of specialist experience. Yeah. And that's why they're in business. You know, they're specialists in their area.
Absolutely. And talking about a lifetime of experience, Mr. Goldfinch, you are a man that has had a couple of lifetimes of experience,
a few adventures.
Really.
Yeah, a few adventures along the way.
Just give us a bit of an overview of some of the things you've been up to.
It actually all started just around the up the road from here.
Really?
I joined the Army Intelligence Corps in 1986.
Right.
And that was at Templar Barracks.
Right, okay, just around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, which is now housing estates now.
Yeah.
And the fast, you know, the high-speed rail line runs through some of it.
Yeah.
But that's where it all started, in 1986. Yeah. So I joined as an Arabic linguist.
Right, okay.
Hold
on.
Yeah.
Let's not skate over some of this. Because it's just, you know, as you do, yeah. I just happened to have acquired some Arabic somewhere, so I joined the intelligence services and became James Bond.
Far from it. Although he was from St. Margaret's, so you could argue.
Arabic. What made you learn Arabic? How did you come across? Why?
I was interested. I've always been interested in languages at school. I'm passionate about young people, especially knowing languages.
Yeah.
You know, really, everybody should learn a language.
Yeah.
And there are more.
I'm working on English
languages
at the moment.
You're doing very well. I'm passionate about languages. Did languages at school, and I didn't really want to do European languages. I wanted to do something a bit different. So Arabic was an offer. Right. It was Arabic or Russian. So I ended up doing Arabic.
Okay.
And never look back, basically. Right. So it's that my time in the army coincided with the Gulf War.
Right.
I didn't go out, but I was in the army at the time, but I wasn't there. I went to university afterwards, studied Arabic.
What, while you were in the army?
No, I left the army and then went to university and studied and lived in Egypt for a few years.
Right.
And really, in my 20s, I wasn't really in the UK at all.
Right, okay.
So yeah, having been born and bred in Deal, where I, you know, my hometown, which I love, and still there now. So,
but you ended up doing stuff in Iraq.
Yes. So via a few twists and turns, you know, life is full of
adventures
in life. Yes, absolutely. Because I'd done Arabic, I thought, let's leave aside the politics of the intervention in Iraq. You know, I could go on all day. I could go on for weeks about it.
Yeah.
So effectively, I went out use the skills I've had to try and make things a bit better.
Right.
So there was an opening for civilian interpreters for the British forces in southern Iraq.
Mm.
So I went out and was an Arabic interpreter. It was a bit rusty when I started, but you soon learn on the job. So I did that for a year.
Right.
Gradually got more and more dangerous, and I along the way I ran a team of local translators in Basra. Left there, and then I had 3.5 years in outside Baghdad as an Arabic media analyst. Ended up as a civilian, you know, ended up as chief political analyst, and I was briefing senior American officers in the situation. I was basically watching the.
So you're watching local media.
in Arabic. Yeah, the Iraqi and pan-Arab, you know, so the ones based in the Gulf.
And then talking to allied troops on the ground about what's going on.
We had to do a daily report, which was like a newspaper.
Right.
So it was actually in English, and that was disseminated quite widely.
Right.
We had to be extremely accurate. So what is this politician saying? Who is this? Where is this? And which language are they using? So it was absolutely fascinating. You know, are they using this word in Arabic, or are they using this word in Arabic? You know, it's very...
And would the outcome have a massive difference?
Well, it's...
Or would it...
It's so close? It betrays an attitude. So how are their attitudes changing? How are people's attitudes changing? Or are they trying to incite violence? Or are they trying to come more to the peaceful track? You know, so it's...
Interesting.
It's interesting what you say about the use of different words in a language as well.
Absolutely,
It reminded me of a really obscure argument I came across a couple of years ago. In the Bible, there's a phrase that says, it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle. Yeah. and it turned out that it doesn't say that. Remotely, it was a piece of misinterpretation.
Yeah.
And I think they determined that what it actually said was, it's easier for a rope to pass through the eye of a needle.
It's interesting because I did a module at university when I was studying Arabic, and it was the Old Testament in Hebrew.
Right.
And there was mistranslations from Hebrew into Greek, then into Latin, and then into English.
Yeah.
It was just transmission problems.
Send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to a dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's another aphorism. Yeah. Okay. Send reinforcements, we're going to advance. Ended up with send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to a dance.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Chinese whispers thing.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Also, you have a lifelong interest in trains.
Railway systems. You know, I like railway systems. My, having been in Kent, having been born and raised in Deal, I've basically always travelled up to London and beyond, and it's always been by train.
Right.
Still is now, in fact. You know,
And you've also written a book.
Yeah, Steel in the Sand. That's very old. You know, 15-16 years ago, I wrote the History of Egypt and its Railways.
Right.
So it's called Steel in the Sand. It was the only book. What I found was I lived in Egypt for 2.5 years. I travelled from the Mediterranean coast, Alexandria, through Cairo, up the Nile Valley to the Sudanese border, by train. Right. I knew pretty much everywhere. It's all built by the British in the 1870s. And when I came back, I had this wealth of knowledge.
Right.
And there was no book on the subject. And people would say, that's probably a good thing.
That's a J.R. Hartley type thing, isn't it?
But it's the long tail we were talking about earlier.
This is the
niche. I still get questions.
Right.
You know, 15 years later.
I bet.
I had a question just before Easter, because this is on my personal website, and it's still an e-book on my personal website. But it just shows the importance of creating. So this book I created 15 years ago, I still get asked questions.
Absolutely.
About it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I gave a talk at the Egyptian embassy way back in, whatever it was, 2004, about it. And one of the question I had before Easter was, did Egyptian steam locomotives run on mummies? Just out of the blue, you know, on a Tuesday morning, you get an email.
As you would.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So do they?
No. No. And I had a, you know, so the importance is to create. You know, this is really, you know, what I'm passionate about, encouraging businesses to do. And this is, again, the theme of today's show, as it seems, you know, with Ish here in journalism. It's all about creating, but creating content of interest and value to the people that you would as customers and to respect you.
And talking about that, one of the things that we're trying to get you to do, Mark, is to tell some of your stories at the Business Diaries.
Oh, Business Diaries. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Because Business Diaries is something run by Lisa Settle. It's a completely different type of networking thing where 4 or 5 people come along and tell stories from their life. It's stories related to business, but it's not about business and it's not about selling. They're personal stories. I've done one of the stories and I've been to all of the events and listened to all of the stories so far. And there's just a whole range of different things, you know, emotional stuff, all kinds of stuff.
Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
You know, basically, I've talked about some exotic places and all this. Mm. But effectively, everybody has a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be very sad. You know, it can be joyous. But when you share it, I'm very passionate about just encouraging people to have a few anecdotes in reserve that they've polished and they've burnished and they know. So they're confident, you know, young people especially. So looking at Ishmael. No, looking at Paul and as well, I say hastily.
I'm not going to say anything.
But passionate about everybody should have a little repertoire of one or two or three anecdotes that they can launch into a space and a gap in a conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mark, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout for your website, Drive My Marketing, so that people can find out more about what you do and engage with you on your MOTN dashboard.
Yeah, so it's driveyourmarketing.co.uk. People can follow me on Twitter, so it's at driveyourmark.
Fantastic.
Yeah, see what I did there. And there's a daily marketing course. It's a marketing question that people can get for 5 minutes and just consider for their business for 5 minutes every day. So that's hashtag Opal365. That's it, I think.
Cool. So have a look for the hashtag Opal, O-P-A-L-365. Follow Mark on a Twitter, Drive Your Mark.
Or it's also my personal website. If people are interested
in some of the
old stories and whatever it is.
Mummy burning trains.
Some of the shows I scripted for Iraqi TV back in the day. That's goldfinchdigital.co.uk.
Goldfinchdigital.co.uk. Check it all out. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you. Fascinating. It's been a pleasure. Thank
you. We're going to get you back and talk more about this.
Yeah,
I know.
It's amazing.
Just so much stuff.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.